At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Weber filling in for Cody a couple times over the next week. Cody will be back on Wednesday. Bank in tomorrow and Thursday. Logan back with us on a Red Friday. Hope you guys are having a great day again on Veterans Day. We appreciate everybody that is currently serving and that have served our country. Obviously, a very important day here in the United States. So we appreciate everybody for hanging out with us today, and especially those that have served. So we'll get to the trash of the day in about 15 minutes or so. Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in a half hour. Nate Taylor going to join us at 1 o'clock today, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. But yesterday, Major League Baseball announced the American League Rookie of the Year, the NL Rookie of the Year, and no surprise, Nick Kurtz was the Rookie of the Year on the AL side. Maybe a little more up in the air on the NL side, but it was Drake Baldwin, if you're wondering, catcher for the Atlanta Braves. Okay, fine. But more interestingly enough is, where did Noah Cameron finish? For those of us here in Kansas City, he finishes fourth, had an unbelievable rookie season, completely out of nowhere, if we're all being real. Great story. We also know the local connection to St. Joe as well. He actually got three second-place votes, as a matter of fact. Ended up with, seven third-place votes. Finishes behind Roman Anthony of the Red Sox, Jacob Wilson, and then, as I said, Nick Kurtz. He finished just in front of Colson Montgomery from the White Sox. So he was the best American League rookie pitcher the entire season. That's a hell of an accomplishment for Noah Cameron. And so he's had a great year for this team, exceeded everybody's expectations. Remember the conversation we were having on this show, and I think every other show in the city for that matter probably, at the time, which was like, hey, what do they do when so-and-so gets healthy? Well, they're going to have to send Noah Cameron back down. Or, no, you can't send him back down. Remember, that was a real question. Yeah. The guy went on, though, Logan, to have the best rookie season as any pitcher in baseball last year on the American League side, that is. Although I could argue on the National League side, absolutely, as well. Everybody talked about Jacob Mizorowski with the Brewers. Noah Cameron had better numbers than Mizorowski, even though he was the hotter name for a while. He was flashier and all that. What I think, though, yesterday's award tells us and adds to what the numbers told us from last year, is that if we're looking at the offseason for the Royals, and we all agreed the biggest issue last year was offense, and the biggest issue in particular was outfield lack of offense. Your starting opening day left fielder in AAA, your right fielder not in baseball at all in Hunter Renfro. Hunter Dozier, both of them, right?
Yeah,
going back a couple years. Hunter Renfro. And so those two players clearly should not have been on your opening day roster. People wanted them to make offseason moves. Well, you go into this offseason, how do you improve the outfield? So you hope that Cags is going to figure it out in his first full year as a big leaguer, assuming he makes the club out of the opening day roster out of spring training, and I think he will. But if you're going to improve the outfield, I don't think it's through free agency. Like, as much as I would love to sit here and say, oh yeah, go spend $100 million on, I don't know, whether it's Kyle Schwarber or
Cody Bellinger,
Kyle Tucker, who's going to just get out of Chicago, it looks like,
yeah,
and is going to probably be the biggest offseason signing period in all baseball, it looks like. Okay, yeah, that would be the easy solution, but let's be realistic. I don't think they're in that territory. All right, well then, there's only other one way to improve it. That's to trade for an outfielder. Okay, how do I do that? I have a luxury of catching prospect-wise, Blake Mitchell. I have enormous depth with starting pitching. And as I go through starting pitching, I think Noah Cameron clearly has the most value. Now, that means he has the most value to you as well, and you love team control. But Noah Cameron has more control than anybody else you could possibly trade at the big league level from a pitching perspective. He's coming off an unbelievable rookie season. If you want to improve the outfield, Noah Cameron needs to be traded.
The first thing I've got is that I would absolutely love to disagree with you, but I can't, right? I love the idea of keeping Noah Cameron on this Royals roster because of how good he was last year, because of how much team control is still he's got less than a year of MLB service time. So this Royals team would still have two more years before he even reaches the 3 years of arbitration. All those things are great, but all those things, you could say, help his trade value at the same time. And when you look at the rest of this roster, right? Yeah, Cole Reagans is great, and he looked great when he came back from the injury, but there is a lengthy injury history with Cole Reagans already there. As much team control as a team would have trading for him, you're concerned about the injury history. Same thing resides with Chris Bubich, on top of the fact that he only has one more year of team control with arbitration. And the age of guys like Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha are going to be great deterrents. And when you look at guys like Kolek or Burgert, yeah, you have team control, but they haven't had the same semblance of success as somebody like a Noah Cameron. As much as I would love for him to stay in Kansas City, if you're going to trade a pitcher and get what you want, which is an MLB-ready bat, not even an MLB-ready bat, but an MLB-proven bat in the outfield, I feel like it has to be Noah Cameron.
Yeah, Chris Bubich, look, it's unfortunate, the injury, because, you know, we all know he was pitching very, very well before that, and there was trade rumors and everything like that. And now it feels like, I don't know if they will end up extending him. Like, he might be somebody that we're talking a year from now or whatever, just not on the club. Because someone texted in and said, you can keep Cameron, trade Bubich. I understand why you would want to do that. You're not getting enough back anymore for Chris Bubich, unfortunately, to where you're fixing the outfield problem. This, like, in a perfect world, I keep all of them, and I just go spend. It's not my money.
Exactly.
Not my money. Go spend $150 million and go fix the outfield. I don't think that's realistic, though. And I agree with your point on Cole Reagans. I don't think they're trading Cole Reagans. Chris Bubich, to me, doesn't have any trade value right now. At least Cole Reagans, I saw pitch a couple outings and look really good at the end of the year. So I feel
off the injury.
So I feel much better about him heading into 2026, my opening day starter, most likely, and all that. Seth Lugo, I just don't think with the contract and everything, the time to trade him, and I have no issue with them not doing it at the time, and I still am fine with it now, but I know a lot of people wanted them to trade Lugo at the trade deadline. That would have been the time to trade him. Not now. Ryan Burkert, yes, has a lot of control. I don't think you're getting as much for him. I would just hold on to him. The only guy that has value in terms of getting what I think they need is Noah Cameron. There is no other name in the rotation. So, yeah, I would rather trade Burkert and Chris Bubich than trade Noah Cameron. I don't believe that gets you what you need. That's all I'm saying. Now, if you want to package somebody with Blake Mitchell, we can maybe have a conversation. I think you guys would be stunned the lack of value you would get for Chris Bubich at this point in time. He is not pitched in a very long time now because of the injury, and you don't know for sure. Unless they do this, which would be, I think, really tricky. All right, you go to spring training. We're out in Arizona. Chris Bubich has two outings or whatever for Cactus League. Looks great. All right, then you trade him, but who's going to trade with you at that point? So it's really tricky. I know, not necessarily the most popular opinion, given the local ties that Noah Cameron has, given the fact that he was awesome last year. Great story. did nothing wrong or anything like that. And he just presents you the most value to go fix what was the clear issue with this baseball team last year. Now they go out and they revamp the hitting program, right? I know Alex Zumwalt is back. You know my thoughts there, but they bring in two new hitting coaches. All right, maybe that fixes things a little bit, but are we going to be sitting here with the same outfield problems in May and in June or April, May, and June and say, wow, it sure would have been nice if they did blank. So a lot of this is Noah Cameron has the most value. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that. There's also still part of me that wonders, was that the best that we'll ever see Noah Cameron look? And let some other team have to answer that.
That's a valid question to ask. You know, I mean, can you expect him to continue to throw a sub-3 ERA for the remainder of his career? I don't know if you can hang your hat on that. And when you have an embarrassment of riches at a certain spot, and you have glaring holes in other places, sometimes you have to pull the trigger on something, right? Like, I would love to see, and it will never happen, I would love to see the Royals pair a Noah Cameron with a Blake Mitchell and try to go after a left fielder. And I'm not saying an outfielder. I'm saying a left fielder specific player, because we've seen this Royals team over and over and over again take a guy who had a natural position and try to put him somewhere else, and it didn't work. We saw them try to do that with Mikel Garcia when they put him at second base, and when they put him in left field, it just wasn't the same player. We've seen it with Jack Caglione going from first base to right field. I think it more or less killed MJ Melendez's career going from catcher to left field. Find a guy who plays left field and throw him out there. Do I think the Royals could acquire a Tyler Soderstrom from the A's? No. Would I love it? Absolutely. But what about maybe like a Gavin Lux with the Cincinnati Reds, who's coming off of a really good year, a guy who is a left fielder? I don't know, but I feel like for the value that you're trying to get back by trading away one of these pitchers, you are going to have to trade one. You've got arguably 7 guys that can be a starting pitcher for your team, if not more. You got to get rid of somebody to try to get value back in the outfield. Why not take some big swings? If you believe in Carter Jensen as the catcher of the future for you, doesn't really leave much of a place for Blake Mitchell outside of a position change, which don't love the idea of.
And J.J. Piccolo was on. I wasn't here last week when he spoke, but I think he was on with Cody last week. And they asked him basically just about kind of the depth in certain areas. And it sounds like, as you would expect, they've received calls on their catching depth. We know what he means when he says that. Mm-hmm. They've received calls on their starting pitching depth. So there will be some opportunities. Whether they actually act on them to think it's the best move and all that, we're going to find out over the next couple of months. I think GM meetings are in Vegas, aren't they? Like next week or something like that? I think that's right. Those will be meetings that set up future moves potentially in December and into January as well. I'm just saying, I think, really, in my opinion, the only way to truly improve in a dramatic way the outfield is to trade somebody like Noah Cameron.
Yeah.
Can they make some other minor moves or go sign another out? Of course. Is it going to be the biggest boost? I think if you don't make a trade for an outfielder, then you really are banking on him. And look, this might just be the reality of where they're at as a payroll and everything. You might just be banking on Jack Caglione figuring it out. And look, that solves a lot of problems if he does.
Right, absolutely.
Solves a ton of problems if he does.
At right field, but not necessarily in left.
For sure. So we'll see. I just thought, you know, Cameron, congratulations to him, by the way. Again, 4th place finish in AL Rookie of the Year is a hell of an accomplishment. I think he probably had a case to finish even a little bit better than that. Probably would have had him finish ahead of Roman Anthony in 3rd. Not that it really matters.
But I think he should have.
When I saw that last night, I wanted to talk more about something that we kind of echoed at the end of the regular season anyway, but Noah Cameron has the most value of any starting pitcher to me on the trade market for the Royals. 15 minutes from now, we'll get to the Chiefs red half hour. All right, briefly before we get to the trash of the day, we all know during the show yesterday, Logan, Brian Daboll was fired by the New York Giants. So that is now 2 openings in the NFL, the Giants, the Tennessee Titans. And yesterday I was trying to think, what other jobs we think open up? And Mike McDaniel in Miami seems to be one that we all would agree is probably going to open up, although they were very impressive the other day. That team has not quit on him. I think he will get to finish out the rest of the regular season, but then likely is let go. And we'll see if he gets another head coaching job in the future. I will say press conferences like this are why I will miss him being a head coach. That's for sure. So I don't know if you guys saw the story after they beat the Bills. There was a photo of what someone clearly looked like Mike McDaniel driving past a bar in Miami where it's a clear Bills hangout, like a clear Bills bar. And so he's trolling them. And of course it goes viral. Yesterday at his press conference, Mike McDaniel was asked about whether or not it was him.
Well, you know, that's why I like the good old days, you know, the throwbacks of yore where you could trust, you know, the internet and the images. Cause you know, that is pretty detailed that, you know, I do live in that area, but I mean, AI, right?
So that doesn't answer the question.
What? I mean,
are you confirming it?
I mean, I live in that area. AI is real. That's what I got for you.
Just a bizarre.
Okay.
Bizarre. It was him. Okay. It was him. Look, as much as we've said, hey, watch out for the fake photos and AI.
Answer.
It was, guys, absolutely was Mike McDaniel in the photo. Absolutely. This is not one of those fake Facebook articles where like the guy's hands are all weird and you're like, how did you get duped by this? Somebody's driving in a car right next to the Bills bar, right after they beat the Bills. It's Mike McDaniel. And the way he answered, it's clearly Mike McDaniel.
It's gotta be.
Why wouldn't he just be, I mean, he's just like, yeah, man, it was me.
It's a terrible look. Like, firstly, like, you're not going to admit
that. I think
that
it's hilarious. You're going to get fired anyway. Like, just go, he's basically going full Todd Haley. Just F it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, fair. A little bit. Yeah. I can understand his desire to not admit that it was him because it does. While it is funny, you do look kind of foolish for like going around joyriding after you beat a good team to get to 3-7. Like, who cares? Legitimately, but I don't know.
For him to go AI, right? Like, it screams like surf bro.
But that's Mike McDaniel's whole vibe forever.
I love the
guy was vaping on the sideline a year or two ago.
His vibe is incredible. I would love, like, if you had to pick any NFL coach to hang out with, Mike McDaniel should absolutely be in your top five, if not in your top three, or maybe even the guy. Like, I feel like
100%.
He has to be on. He feels like he would be a fun time being
right,
in that situation.
Top five coaches I would want to hang. NFL coaches I want to hang.
Mike
coaches,
McDaniel's on that list.
He would just because he's fascinating.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Okay, so Mike McDaniel would be, I don't know, in any order, he'd be on the list.
I would say Sean McVay. But Sean
I was
McVay,
thinking that way too.
He feels like one of those dudes that like you could only talk about football with Sean
I'll
McVay.
He's got nothing else going on. I'm all about just being entertained and also being intrigued by the conversation. I'll go Jim Harbaugh as well because that conversation could go in a million different places.
Yeah.
I'd add him to the list as a coach to hang out with. Who am I missing? Vrabel. I'll put Mike Vrabel on the list
as
well.
That's a good one.
Two more. Oh boy.
Give me Pete Carroll.
Okay.
No? Yeah, just
what's your reasoning behind Pete? Do you feel like he's a good dude?
First of all, I feel like Pete's gotta have some incredible stories.
Oh, going back to the
oh my
like
god,
the USC
to his time
days?
At US. There's gotta be some wild, just I, nutty USC
stories, I'd say Mike Tomlin and then the last coach to hang out with. Oh, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Ben Johnson.
I think Dan Campbell would be a...
Ooh, I forgot about him.
I think Dan Campbell would also be
Raheem
a fascinating...
Dan Campbell's probably a good answer, yeah. Huh. Text line, a lot of people saying...
Dan Campbell would bite me.
A lot of people saying Dan Campbell, yeah. I forgot about Dan Campbell. We'll take... who can I take off the list? I don't know. Take out Mike Tomlin. Put in Dan Campbell for this conversation.
Man, why is nobody talking about Nick Sirianni in this context? Huh? Oh, what do we think? What do we think?
I can't stand
I'm being
him.
Completely facetious.
Cannot stand him.
I am
just
absolutely
what a D-bag.
Do not take that seriously.
Honestly, just
someone
what
said,
a complete D-bag.
A bottom five coach would be Mike McDaniel. I think you're crazy. I think you'd have a good old time.
To hang out
with Mike
are you
McDaniel.
Just, are you wanting to smoke? What are you wanting to do?
No.
Is this what you're hoping just to hang out and just chill?
This has nothing to do with, I have not smoked a single thing in my life. This does not have anything to do with
you could line up 100 human beings and put one person in a room and say, which one do you think consumed an edible in the last 4 hours? Mike McDaniel is getting chosen 100 times.
Logan, a lot of people giving you crap for the Pete Carroll. They're saying, what are you going to bed by 6 o'clock eating Werther's Originals and having a warm glass of milk?
Whoa, what's wrong with Werther's Originals? I don't understand. I think they're fantastic.
Wait, do you have a bowl of them on your...
God, no.
Okay.
No, I don't eat the hard candy.
Okay.
I don't eat the hard candy one. They got to be the caramel, good God ones.
The caramel?
Yes.
Trash of the day.
All right. So I have one for you, but I'll just read you the headline of one real quick so you guys can figure this out. A man named Pancake was arrested in Florida. Yeah. Can you guys care to get? I'm not going to read into the details because it's kind of dark. We'll get to a different one. But what do you think Pancake did? Any guesses?
Is it like a public indecency? Was he just like pouring a can of Aunt Jemima's syrup on himself?
Pancake. Eric Pancake.
Eric his last name
Eric
is
spelled with a K.
Oh.
E-R-I-K Pancake. He's unfortunately accused of hitting his elderly father. That's why I don't want to dive deeper into it.
This but guy's the name from Florida, right?
Yes, Florida man. Yeah.
Always
man named Pancake.
Is.
Of course, of course.
The real trash of the day is this story in France where a gentleman was digging a hole for a swimming pool. The next day, he found $800,000 worth of gold. So this happened actually about a year ago, but this story, for whatever reason, came to light yesterday. I came across this. The unidentified man discovered the 5 gold bars and mini coins buried in his yard. He actually called authorities, though, and they investigated. They found out the gold had been melted down 15, 20 years ago, was obtained legally by the previous owner of the property, so the man was allowed to keep and not have to give back the gold. Now, I have a couple questions. Number one, if they found out that it was from the previous owner of the property, someone, a lawyer, can tell me how this works. If there's gold buried in Logan's backyard, he just bought his house 9 months ago. If there's gold in the backyard, that's his forever, doesn't matter? Like, it's not the previous owner?
It's yours? Ownership is 9/10 of the law, presumably?
So it's yours. So that's the first question. The other one is, would you have called authorities anyway? This guy called the police and said, hey, by the way, there's a bunch of gold bars buried in my backyard. Would you have called police, or would you just been like, well, I don't want to find out if this is illegal or not. Would you just take... But why did he even call the police?
I don't know. My question
is... It's on his property.
Why do you have $800,000 of gold that you obtained legally and then melted it? Who melts down, like, legally acquired gold? Like, that is quintessential.
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm saying is...
illegal behavior.
I'm not... If I have a home and I'm digging in the backyard and I find... What about 5 gold bars? I find any gold. I'm not calling the police and saying, hey, by the way, I have 5 gold bars. You want to check it out?
Absolutely not.
No.
That's going to the grave. Yeah, Mike, one of the other questions, this must have been a man putting in the pool himself.
Yes, that's what it
because
is.
Because it couldn't have
he
been
was
like,
digging a hole for a pool.
I could understand if it was like a company that he had hired out and they found the gold. Then I feel like there's a different situation there. Ooh. But this has got to be a man putting it in himself.
Someone says, appraiser, when they sold the house, they gave their bundle of rights to the buyer, including subsurface rights. Someone says, establishing the legality of the gold ensures you get full value for it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You risk, though, you dig it up, and it's like, I don't know. You find out it's from, like, some heist or something, and then you're
then it's gone.
Yeah, then you're like,
just
well,
take it?
Shoot, I should have. Here's what you do. You call and you say you found 4 gold bars. You keep one. You hide
just
one.
In case,
just
right?
in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Hedge your bets a little bit.
I think so. I think so. All right. That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We get back into what Andy Reid had to say about Xavier Worthy and his role moving forward. Plus, Andy Reid's track record after bye weeks. Does it matter in this circumstance on Sunday?
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Carissa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Okay, we'll explain that next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. We will discuss Andy Reid post-bye week, his success, and why maybe it doesn't matter as much this week. Coming up in 8 minutes or so. You guys can always interact with us on the Jays Southland Soda Service text line, 913-586-7965. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Logan Weber with you here on a Tuesday. So Andy Reid yesterday, around noon, spoke to the media. Maybe you caught some of that press conference here exclusively on 96.5 The Fan, and he was asked about Xavier Worthy and how do you get him, you know, more involved? Because last week against Buffalo, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it is at this point, 3 catches, 23 yards on 7 targets. The week before, 5 catches, 7 targets for 53. Week before that, 3 catches, 4 targets, 35 yards. And as we noted, the rushing number has been 1 carry for like 13, then no carries and 1 carry. Do you think they actually need to get Xavier Worthy more involved? This was Andy Reid's answer.
Well, we try to get them all involved the best we can. Some games you're just going to have that where, you know, they're taking somebody away, and that's how it goes. You know, that's happened, how the coverage goes. That's how the play call goes, so on. But we're not down on Xavier Worthy. We know he's a good player, and we like to get the ball in the good player's hands, you know, the best way we can. So it just hasn't rolled that way.
A couple things to me has contributed to this. One, Rashee Rice is back, and so the offense is running through him. You know, when Rice was still out and Worthy had come back from the dislocated shoulder, he was still like their biggest playmaking option, other than maybe Travis Kelce. So that's part of this. The other thing, though, in the receiving game, I'm looking at the targets at least. Now, maybe we want to see targets further down the field or whatever, but 7 targets a game the last 2 games, that's kind of about right for my number 2 receiver when I have Rice, when I have Travis Kelce, when I have Hollywood Brown healthy as well, when I have Tyquan Thornton available, although he hasn't really played all that much. So I don't really think suddenly, oh, I need him getting 10 targets a game. In fact, the time he got around there was 9 targets in the Jags game. Remember, there was still no Rashee Rice at that point. He had 6 catches for 42 yards. So it's not so much that I think he needs to be targeted more. Yeah, I think you and I hit on this earlier, which is, can they get him involved in the run game as jet sweep extension stuff? And if Isaiah Pacheco is not available Sunday, we don't know that to be true, but I think his status is up in the air. Well, then you might need to have both Rice in that wildcat role, Worthy, not in the wildcat role, but Worthy on the in around, jet sweeps, touch pass, etc., to get the ball in an explosive playmaker's hand.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily about this Chiefs team is not looking to get him the football, because the targets indicate that they are.
Right.
But maybe you are a little bit more precise in how you go about him getting those targets. Because they are still using him and throwing him the ball once, maybe even twice a game in terms of deep routes down the field. And that might be why he's only got 8 catches on those 14 targets in the last 2 weeks, right? Look to get him the football in that 5 to 8 yard range. Get him the ball on a tunnel screen or a bubble route with somebody out in front trying to block. Get him one-on-one in space, chances to use his speed to take a 6-yard play and turn it into a 30-yard play, because the speed does exist there. I don't think that it's laterally. It's definitely vertical. It's getting north and south. That's what kind of differentiates him and Tyreek Hill in a lot of respects, is Tyreek was so good getting east and west and using it to get north and south. Worthy doesn't really have that sort of agility, I don't think. But instead of just saying, hey, run as fast as you can down the field and we're going to see if we can throw it to you, and he's stuck in a one-on-one in press coverage, or it's a shell look with a safety over the top, and it just isn't working out, just try to find more effective ways to get him the football and see if he can make something happen after the catch rather than using the catch as the way to generate huge yards.
I wonder, you know, the shots down the field, as much as we saw during training camp, much like a year ago, the best they have looked going down the field has still been to Tyquan Thornton. Mm-hmm. And so nobody is suggesting that Tyquan Thornton is a better receiver, and if they are, I think they're wrong, than Xavier Worthy. However, down the field, the rapport that Mahomes has with Thornton has been better. Tyquan Thornton can make contested catches. That's just not really in the game for Worthy, given his size. Also, let's remember, he is still playing hurt. Like, he's playing with a brace still on a dislocated shoulder, which absolutely has to have some sort of impact to what we're discussing. But you know, if you're looking for Worthy to have more success down the field, so am I. I just wonder, for this year, with where things still stand, their best deep threat option continues to be Tyquan Thornton, and he's struggling to get on the field because, luckily, everybody's been healthy. And so I'm not suggesting that Thornton should be out-snapping Xavier Worthy by any means, but if you're wanting to stretch the field, I don't really know if that's Worthy at this point. Just for whatever reason, the connection's not there. I think it's more likely on Sunday against the Broncos that it's going to be kind of what you were suggesting, other than the run game stuff, is it's going to be the bubble screen. It's going to be a quick slant and see if you can get some yards after the catch kind of stuff for Worthy moving forward. I actually really don't have much of an issue with how involved he is. I like the production, I think we all would, to be more than 3 catches for 23 yards, but he's being targeted 7 times. So I have to go back and watch all 7 targets, Logan, to find out, like, yeah, were 2 of them deep shots, was 1 a bad throw, was 1 a drop, etc., to figure that out. But if you tell me on Sunday against the Broncos he's targeted 7 times, he has 2 carries, and that, I'm happy with that. That's potentially 9 touches.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It comes down to, as I said, I think that they are looking for ways to get him the football, just maybe a little bit safer, more effective, more precise ways of getting it. Instead of trying to throw it to him 35 yards down the field, hit him on an 8-yard crossing route. I don't know, hit him on a zig route 4 yards off the line of scrimmage and put him on the sideline one-on-one with a corner and see if he can just beat him.
He can win man-to-man. Yeah, someone even on the text line was saying, like, the, you know, if you're going to be going up a defense that's going to be run a little more man, and look, the Bills did that, I'm expecting the Broncos to do that, mm-hmm. whereas Washington and the Raiders were playing very soft zone at times, and so there was some more opportunities for other guys in the offense. I think for the Chiefs to beat the Broncos, I mean, yeah, Xavier Worthy's going to have to win in some of those opportunities on crossing routes. I would agree there. But I'll be curious to see if they try to have Rice and Worthy a little bit more involved in the extension of the run game. And I told you earlier, I love the way they are using Rashee Rice in the Wildcat formation. I think that is, for the rest of his career, is a huge asset for him, whether he's in Kansas City long-term or not. I think they clearly like that package. It's been successful. There's a bunch of wrinkles off of it that we haven't even seen, I'm sure. But he looks like Deebo Samuel back there. Now, I don't think they're going to be handing it to him 5 times.
Right, that was the only thing I had, let's be a little bit, you know, safe with how often we're using that, unless you want to end up with Rashee Rice having the injury issues that Deebo has 4 years from now.
Exactly. And so you definitely want to be cautious there. But Rice looks natural back then. You know why? Because he was a running back before. So that if you're wondering, why does he look so comfortable with the ball in his hands as a receiver anyway? We've seen that yards after the catch, but that's why he looks so good in the backfield as well. So this is the week where, if Pacheco is at, I wonder if you see it more from Worthy and Rice in that way. And also Breshard Smith. I mean, that's the other conversation we could have, is if you're not going to have Pacheco, As much as Kareem Hunt's been effective, Breshard Smith should get more of an opportunity. He is still the most explosive back that they have, if we're not including, you know, when Rashee Rice is lined up as a Wildcat.
Yeah, I look at this matchup with the Denver Broncos, and I agree with you. This front four is so good at getting to the quarterback. I mean, there's four teams in the NFL that have 30 or more sacks. They have 46, which is 14 more than anybody else in the league. Mm. So you're going to have to get the ball out of your hands quickly. Even if the Chiefs offensive line has a good day, you're not going to hold down this Broncos team defensively for four quarters when it comes to pressuring the quarterback. And if Pat Surtain can't play in this game, you find ways to get those weapons the football and make things happen. I think getting Breshard Smith more involved, getting Xavier Worthy more effective targets, it allows for things to happen, because outside of Talanoa Hufanga, there's nobody in that Broncos secondary that really scares you. You know, I'm an Iowa guy. I love Riley Moss. I know that there's people in Mizzou fans who love Chris Abrams-Drain. Those two guys are not superstar corners in this league, and Brandon Jones is sort of your, you know, run-of-the-mill free safety. You can make things happen if you put your weapons in one-on-one situations to go out and beat guys, because I think that this Chiefs wide receiver core is more athletically gifted and talented than this Broncos secondary.
One of the trends that gets brought up anytime the Chiefs have a bye week is Andy Reid's track record out of a bye week. And the record is unbelievable, right? And now it's 22-4. The Chiefs, of course, coming off a bye in week 10, they get set to take the Broncos 3:25 kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. So do I buy into it? Yeah, I buy into it. Self-scouting, rest, making adjustments, showing looks, yeah, all that is true. I don't know if it's impactful heading into this one, because the Broncos just played in that clunker Thursday night game against the Raiders last week. Right. We all saw it. And as bad as the Broncos look, they look terrible. They still found a way to win. They had a mini by themselves. And you don't think that they're going to, you know, considering how bad that performance was against the Raiders, you think that they're not going to have some adjustments as well. So yes, Andy Reid's track record out of the bye week is very impressive. I think some of that is limited, the advantage you get this go around, only because the Broncos played on a Thursday night. So you don't even get the luxury of that full go. Whereas when you play the Colts the following week, they get the full bye week, because the Colts don't, is that right? Or am I off on that? The Colts are on a bye this week, are they not? Or am I off on that, guys?
I'm double checking really quick.
They just played internationally. Yeah, so they're on a bye. Yeah. Yes. So they're on a bye. So they will get a full bye heading into the Chiefs game. The Chiefs get a full bye, but their opponent gets a half bye.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that there's going to be less of a strategic advantage for the Chiefs in this game than we usually see out of a bye week, because the Broncos have 10 days of rest compared to the Chiefs having, you know, 14. I think that the biggest thing about the bye for this Chiefs team is going to be just the health of this roster. I mean, we saw this offensive line get really, really banged up over the last few weeks. You know, Trey Smith was dealing with the back issue, although he played the entire Bills game. He's now had 2 weeks pretty much to get himself a little bit more healthy. Juwan Taylor, same thing after he left that game against Buffalo. Jalen Moore left for a little bit of that game as well. He was dealing with some injury issues. Josh Simmons is now back in the building after missing time with the personal issue. So I think that you're going to have opportunities to see guys get a little bit healthier here. And that's going to be the biggest advantage, I think, for the Kansas City Chiefs compared to the Broncos. And it's not as much of a strategic advantage, I would say.
So yeah, they're healthy, but I would say the Chiefs, knock on wood, they've been, and people will hate me saying this, they've been as healthy as any team in football, the Chiefs have this year.
Like that, I would argue more healthy than any team in football.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing. I understand they're 5-4, and last year they had injuries and all that, and they ended up winning 15 games. They only have 5 wins, and yet the injuries have not been the reason, excuse, or any, like, that has not been the problem. They have a very healthy roster for this late in the season. It's actually kind of freaks me out a little bit how healthy it is, because it makes me a little nervous that their regression is about to happen. But like,
when's the shoe going to drop?
For whatever reason, like they are very, very healthy. And so that part of it, like other than the Josh Simmons aspect and his off the field issue, whatever that is, they really have not been limited because of many injuries. Like, I understand Rice, well, that was a suspension. That wasn't an injury. Worthy, he is still hurt because of the dislocated shoulder, but he's been very effective, even though we just got done saying we would like to see him more. So I actually think this first, the question is Pacheco this week. Because other than that, I actually don't think they've had a true injury for weeks now that have impacted them. Week one, the Chargers game, and that was a disaster. But other than that, they've been as healthy and as I would actually probably agree with you, healthier than any other team in football. So that's an advantage they kind of have had every single week anyway.
Completely agree. It was just the concerns you had about the offensive line following the Bills game when you knew Trey Smith was a little bit banged up and Juwan Taylor leaves, Jalen Moore's dealing with his issues.
Yeah.
And all three of those guys should be a full go. Plus you're getting Josh Simmons back. So the health of your offensive line is one thing to discuss, but the depth of the offensive line increases exponentially because you now have two options at left tackle. You don't see Juwan Taylor leave the game and you're rolling with Wanye Morris at right tackle, which became a disaster from the word go when he entered that game against Buffalo.
Yeah. And look, like in game injuries, like somebody was mentioning, you just said it and someone else was mentioning like when Wanye had to come in. I don't count that. Like the injuries that we talk about and we've seen across the NFL where guys are missing a month or out for the year and stuff. That's what I'm saying. The Chiefs have avoided that to this point in time. That's what I mean by they're the healthiest team in football. Yeah. And it is as nerve wracking as that might be for someone that believes in jinxes and everything like that. But like the guy gets hurt in game in Kingsley and he misses a snap. That doesn't count. Okay. Like that just doesn't count.
Right.
We're talking about guys missing multiple games and Worthy. The first two games of the year you can point to, I guess. I would argue in week one, while much of their game plan was clearly involving Worthy, the Chiefs defensively were just not good enough. Like to me, with Worthy, the Chiefs still lose that game against the Chargers.
Yeah, Herbert still threw for 303 scores.
I still think the Chiefs lose it. Now, if you want to argue about the Philadelphia game, I'll maybe listen a little bit more to that one. But the Chargers game, to me, guys, they were losing that game. they just were not on it whatsoever. That was a game that they had. So someone says play three plays against the Chargers in Brazil. I get it. It changed their entire game plan offensively. But what Logan just said, defensively, the Chiefs had nothing going against the Chargers in week one. To me, that's not one where I point and say, man, if they had Worthy, they would have won the game.
Yeah,
personally,
maybe they could
just disagree. That's all.
They could have kept pace a little bit better. Maybe that because they were that offense was awful.
Yeah, and I understand they lost by 6 points.
So maybe you could have been a little bit more effective offensively. Yeah. Throughout the four quarters of that football game, but still, even if they were more effective, it's just more opportunities for the Chargers offense to score, and the defense could not stop that Chargers offense to save their lives in that one.
All right, coming up in 12 minutes, we'll get to what's trending, and we'll also get back into some of the contenders to actually win the Super Bowl, plus all 32, but we didn't get into this towards the end of the show yesterday when the news came out, but we were talking pre-show about this whole, and Vinny brought it up too, our NFL insider, YouTube TV, ESPN, Disney dispute mess, which continues. Is this the second full week now that we've been dealing with this stuff? Crazy.
Yeah, this past weekend was the...
So this is dragged on
weekend.
This is dragged on longer than most of these. A lot of these are usually like 1 week thing and then they figure it out. This one's different because you have the ESPN app now and there's a little more pushback to it. Well, you guys probably remember they said they were going to offer like a $20 credit if this continues to drag on. And they are. YouTube TV is. And like, you're a YouTube TV guy, right?
I am not.
You're
no,
Hulu. Drew, you're
Hulu.
YouTube TV.
Yes.
I have YouTube TV. And so as I mentioned to Vinny, Monday Night Football last night was also on ABC, so I went with the old school indoor antenna, and that's all I used, which Vinny made us feel very, very old when he didn't know what I was talking about with the indoor antenna, the bunny ears or whatever. But anyway.
I'm the same age as Vinny, and I know what that is.
He didn't know. He didn't know. It made me feel very old. But the joke here is that the $20 credit, you have to go and actually apply. You have to log into your Google account. Go to YouTube TV, go to like the settings tab, then click on credits and then like check a box and submit it. Why? What are we doing? I mean, I know why they're hoping people forget and don't do it and they save their money, but just apply the $20 credit to everybody's bill. What are we doing here? This is crazy.
I did get an email actually.
Did you?
20 minutes ago from YouTube saying to redeem it. I don't know if they're sending those out.
Did you go already into your account and hit?
I haven't done it yet, but I got the email. I know I need to do.
They're
it
sending
at some
out
point.
Emails,
I
but
got the
I
email
shouldn't
today.
I should not even have to click on a link in
I
my
agree.
Email.
Yeah, they
you
just
guys
give it to you.
Haven't figured your bleep out. Neither has ESPN and Disney. You can apply my $20 credit without me having to check a box and log into my account and go through hurdles. This is crazy.
Yeah, they're doing the right thing in the absolute wrong way. Just apply the $20 credit to your bill.
It should be more than $20, too, by the way.
For next month or for this month.
It's for next month,
yeah, for next month. And just go. Just leave it at that. I mean, you're going to make your – you're already forcing your customers to have to jump through all these hoops. And I'm not putting all the blame on
no, both
YouTube
parties
TV
are to blame for sure.
Yeah. Like, I don't, the only reason I don't have to deal with this is because I'm already in bed with the devil that is Disney because I have Hulu Live TV. Right. So it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't a little bit.
Logan strikes me as somebody that you like. I don't know if you do this. I could see you being you and your wife like all about Disney. Like I could see you guys just having all the Disney shows, going to Disney World twice a year. I could see all of it.
Not so much like going to Disney, but we are big Disney. I'm a huge like Marvel fan. And of course, Disney owns Marvel. Disney. They own ESPN. Disney owns everything.
Someone says
they're trying to monopolize the streaming market. No question about it.
Someone says they sent an email. They aren't trying to hide the credit. I understand they sent an email and someone said it's very simple. You click one button. I am just saying that for something that is their fault along with Disney's, and the customer should not have to even go in, quote unquote, apply for the $20 credit. What? Why? We all know why. It's because they're hoping you forget. They're hoping they can get a few extra million of credits they don't have to hand out. So, yeah, you're right. It is going to take me, and I already did it, 60 seconds to go and apply the bill credit. That's not the point. Other than the whole thing being annoying, it is that they are making you apply for a credit. Why would I have to opt in? Like someone's gonna be mad that they got a $20 credit?
Yeah, I'm really trying to. I'd love for YouTube TV and ESPN or and Disney to Google essentially and Disney to figure it out because I really don't want to jump. I've done the trials and stuff, and it just feels, you know, I don't know if it's just my loyalty, but it feels like YouTube TV is, I'm comfortable with it.
Oh, I love YouTube TV. I'm just, you know, it's frustrated right now.
Yeah. Well, if we're being honest though, too, the credit should also be more than $20 because
it was never going
to
be.
They have to know that $20 worth of my whatever I'm paying is not.
They're not going
to
give you half off.
It's like $60 of that whatever is dedicated to sports. So we should help us a little bit more.
They're not going
to
give you half off your YouTube TV because of five channels or four channels.
I agree with both sides of the argument here of like you guys who say, just give me my $20 credit. I shouldn't have to jump through even an additional hoop. I 100% see that. I also see the people who are like, it's just an email. Well, you just click the button and the $20 credit is yours. But it's a, yeah, it's clearly a design on their part.
I know why they're doing it. That doesn't mean I have to be like, oh yeah, no problem.
So, I mean, think about YouTube TV has an estimated 10 million subscribers, somewhere near that point. If 10%, if even 10% of YouTube TV subscribers do not get that, don't click the button and get their credit back, that is $20 million back in the pocket of YouTube TV. If even 90% of people actually do take the $20 credit and 10% don't, that's $20 million that YouTube TV doesn't have to pay simply because people forget. And should people forget?
Oh, and there will be people that absolutely 100%. Don't do this.
Yes, but sometimes you have lives and you forget things and you don't check your email every day.
So,
and it gets buried. It happens.
So if you have YouTube TV, please make sure you go and get your credit. Don't lose out on your $20. And then Google and Disney, figure your bleep out, please, over the next
I think it's still majority Disney to blame for this. They know exactly what they're doing.
I don't disagree
with you.
Hey, go
to Hulu and Fubo, which we also own. You know, go on ahead and go to those places because they're not having the problems.
Yeah,
it works out very conveniently for Disney.
I think they're both, I don't know if we split up the pie chart, but they are both to blame. These are still two mega corporations that are screwing over the consumer. That's as simple as it is. That's how I see it. All right. Up next, guys, let's get to what's trending. Let's also talk a little bit more about the list that we tried to compile of Super Bowl contenders. And I don't know if we can include nine teams, although one of us definitely had eight or nine of them. We'll get to that next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit.
It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma's designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.